Now joining us, a guy who, I'm going to tell you, be honest with you, and I've been saying this all spring, I'm hearing tremendous things about him, internally, externally, and he had a great reputation before he came here. Bob Shoup just finished his first spring practice at Tennessee. I'm sure it's been a whirlwind, 5 or so months for him. And, Bob, first thing I want to do is welcome you to the Tony Basilio Show. It's great to talk to you, man.
Tony, thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me on. Heard a lot of great things about you. Hope we're not talking politics. I thought I heard politics going on at the end there.
No. I was making fun of the fact that the Eagles, so I'm a longtime Eagle fan, grew up outside of Philly. And, you know, they traded up because they want Carson Wentz. And
sure
I just
do.
Know the way things go. The Rams are going to take that. They're going to take Wentz, and the Eagles are going to end up with the guy with little hands. And I said, he's got little hands like Donald Trump. I wasn't talking politics, Coach. Don't get me. Hey, don't get me in trouble here, okay? I'm not. We're trying to keep it in the middle of the road here. The first thing I want to do, Coach, with you is publicly acknowledge what an awesome job you guys did at Vanderbilt. You know, I've been here a quarter century. We've never seen anybody move the bar at Vandy. You guys did a hell of a job there. I mean, an incredible job. Looking back on it, that's pretty remarkable that you were able to move the bar at all there, wasn't it?
It was a great experience. I mean, we were at Vanderbilt for 3 years, and James Franklin did a great job. You know, unprecedented success there. You know, 3 years, 3 bowl games, two consecutive 9-win seasons, and then 2 consecutive top 25 finishes, and you know, I've said many times now, I mean, my experience in Nashville is sort of what attracted me to this place. You know, living in the mid-state, you drive around and you see the Power T, and having competed as an opponent in Neyland Stadium 2 different times in front of 102,455 screaming maniacs in Vol Nation, it was, I just knew I was there for Coach Jones' first year. I was at Vanderbilt when Coach Jones first came here, and I'd always kind of admired his process in building this thing up, and knew a lot of the players in the mid-state. So to me, I'm very, very proud of what we accomplished at Vanderbilt. And part of my experience at Vanderbilt and awareness of the program here in Knoxville is what brought me back to this part of the country. So I'm excited to be part of All Nation as well.
You know, you've had, as I was telling you before, I'm from southeastern Pennsylvania outside of Philadelphia. And I was telling my brother, who's a proud Penn State grad, and when you were in play here for this job, I said, man, I think Tennessee's going to get him. And he said, ah, he'll never leave. He'll never leave. But one thing they were sorry to see you go. And one thing I think we can agree on is that you had some great stories there with Penn State. You guys had a short stack, and it's still a short stack type situation, that James Franklin's in there. It's a really tough situation with what's going on in that league around him. Tell me, though, about this Nassib kid who came there as a walk-on and is going to walk out of Penn State with an opportunity to be a really high draft pick. May hear his name Thursday. I mean, there's a lesson to learn for everybody listening from that kid, isn't there?
Absolutely. I mean, Carl Nassib was a guy that we inherited, you know, coming into the 2014 season. He was kind of a scout team, maybe a minimal role player prior to that, and his great story is when Bill O'Brien was the head coach there. First of all, he's from Malvern Prep, which will probably only mean something to you and me in your listening audience here. But he's a pre-med student. He went in to see Bill O'Brien before his sophomore season and, said something to the effect, you know, he said, what do you want to do? You know, O'Brien asked him what he wanted to do with his life. He said, I'm going to play in the NFL someday. And, you know, O'Brien looked back at him and said, you're going to have a hard enough time making this team. And, you know, he grew. He was a 6'6", 215-pound kid coming out of Malvern Prep, had never even started a high school football game for his varsity team. Walked onto the team, continued to get bigger. He was 6'7", 275, ran a 4.8 at the combine. Had modest success for us our first year there in 2014. We put him on scholarship because he'd earned that through the course of spring and summer. You know, and when we watched the cut-ups after the 2014 season, said, this is a guy we probably should have played more. He continued to get better. I still remember this day him sitting in my office and say, Coach, invest in me. I'm a good investment. You know, he had a great spring and a great summer leading up to the 2015 season. And, you know, 4 months later, he's got 16.5 sacks, over 20.5 tackles for loss, led the country in fumble, caused fumbles. He wins many numerous awards, including the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, the Lott Impact Award, the Hendricks Award. You know, just incredible, you know, offseason for him, and he's continued to work hard and is very driven. And I know on, maybe not in the first round, but on Friday or Saturday, he's going to hear his name called, and it's going to fulfill a lifelong dream for him. He already has a brother that actually is a backup quarterback for the New York Giants. He was a quarterback at Syracuse. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool story, no question.
It's a great story, and it's the kind of thing that to me kind of keeps you coming back for more with sports, because you and I both know that in your business, it's about the stargazers and the ratings, and that's what makes a cash register ring and gets people excited. But there's really no guarantee. I'm sure you've seen kids on film you've looked at and went, man, that kid at this level is going to be awesome, and he got to campus and he just didn't have whatever you have to have inside of you, whatever it is. And it happens all the time. And then you get a kid like that who his head coach looks at and goes, hey, man, you know, it's like Chuck Knoll used to say to his players, it's time for you to get on with the rest of your life. His head football coach in college is telling this kid that. And he's like, coach, I'm not listening to you. I'm gonna make it. And I think there's something for all of us to learn from that. There's something you said, though, in your answer, Bob, that I wanted to touch on. You said he had come to you. One thing that people are telling me about you behind the scenes, and I trust people to tell me these things because this is where you learn your stuff. They tell me you have an open-door policy with your players that they haven't seen over there. And what I mean is you try to, it seems like, keep the lines of communication open 24/7. Why, first of all, is that true? And then why do you roll like that if it is the case?
I think one of the things that I've learned, you know, I've been in this profession now for a long time, and I've learned that it's a relationship business. The whole thing's a relationship business. And when I first got on the job here, this is kind of an unusual transition for me. I've said that story a couple times, that I knew actually more players on the team than I knew coaches on the staff. You know, many of the guys that I had recruited when I was at Vanderbilt and was familiar with their names and their background and their families. And when I came here, you know, when you go to Vanderbilt, you know, it's kind of scorched earth in that the team hadn't had much success. You blow it up and you start over and say, here's how we're doing things. You know, when you go to Penn State, there's great history and culture there. But, you know, you go to Penn State, we brought our whole staff. So, you know, we integrated ourselves into the Penn State culture and kind of found a happy medium here. You know, Coach Jones has created a great culture. We have a great defensive staff. So I was trying to fit in. And one of the ways I did that was when I first got on the job was, you know, really sat down and invited each player into my office and, you know, got to hear their background, how they ended up at Tennessee. Tell me about your family. Tell me about what's important to you. What are you studying? You know, tell me about your experience here. Have you played much? You know, what are your goals? What are your thoughts? What are your ambitions? And to me, that's the most important thing. And in developing those relationships, finding out what motivates people, finding out how they learn, finding out what their goals are. You know, like I said, to me, I always say there's style and there's fundamentals. I love for players to have their own style. You know, I don't try to change their style. I want them to embrace their style, and I'll work with them on their style. But there are certain fundamentals within the framework of the Tennessee football program, a 63 mentality, 6 seconds each play, 3 great efforts, a T-tough mentality. You know, the way we want to play football with toughness, you know, certain fundamentals that are non-negotiable. And that is true. I really enjoyed getting to know each and every one of the players, their backgrounds and things like that. And over the course of time, I hope to have stories about those guys, you know, very similar to the ones I just shared about Carl.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. I've had a couple guys say to me that they felt confident that if they came to you and said, hey, we have an idea for something, we want to implement this, or we ought to think about using this guy here, or in this manner, or that way. That's pretty strong when guys feel like they could have that kind of relationship with you. I would imagine that's probably a pretty good report for you to hear that from me.
No, and that's true. That's very true. I mean, when I first got on the job here, you know, just, like I said, some of the things that Tennessee was doing and we had done at different places were similar. We might have called it one thing and they called it another. And a great resource for me was Jalen Reeves-Maven, was Darren Kirkland, was Todd Kelly, guys with great experience who've, and they've kind of shared with me the landscape of things, not only here, you know, in this building and with this program, but throughout the conference. And I've, on every team I've been a part of, whether it was a veteran at, Vanderbilt or Penn State or here, just relying on those guys for feedback and input, I welcome that. And, you know, like I said, I can't say that every idea that someone's ever brought to me has been utilized, but I'll listen and I hear things. And especially with the middle linebackers and the safeties who are kind of the quarterbacks of the defense, kind of have to be the extensions of the coaches on the field. You know, if there's a better way to communicate things, a faster way to communicate things, you know, Darren Kirkland and I have already had many of those conversations. Like I said, Todd Kelly, Jalen Reeves, maybe and I have already had many of those conversations. Hey, why don't you just call it this and we can get it done? Okay, you sure that's the best way? You know, those type of things. And up front, you know, when you got a guy like Derek Barnett or you've got experienced guys like, you know, Troy Lewis or Danny O'Brien, they've come to me and said, you know, hey, have you thought about this? Or, you know, let me call this. I got you on that or something like that. And again, you know, it's not necessarily that true freshman coming in the first day saying, I got a couple ideas for you. It's the guy throughout the course of that relationship earns your trust and respect. And that you say, hey, give me some feedback on this. And it's just communicating and talking things through and understanding that we're all on the same team and we all are have common ground there.
As we visit with Tennessee defensive coordinator Bob Shoup on the program, Coach, I know looking at Penn State, you guys didn't have enough to really play the way you wanted to play 24/7. And in some of those big games, you kind of go in there. We used to have a basketball coach here who called it going into a knife fight with a fork, and that's a bad feeling, okay? That's a bad feeling for everybody involved. Do you feel like here at Tennessee right now, like as we get ready to go into 2016, all cards on the table, do you have enough here right now material-wise to play the game the way you want to play it?
I'm very excited. I mean, you talk about, like I said, this group up front. You know, we obviously this spring was challenging for us in some ways up front because we were missing some guys, you know, due to injury. But I've watched all the games. Right whenever I called you right now, I was actually watching the Alabama game from a year ago, you know, just watching us on defense, watching us compete. And, you know, you've got guys at each level. You've got Derek Barnett, who's an all-SEC caliber player at the end. You've got a guy named Corey Vrees, the other D end, who I think is one of the more underrated players, you know, in the SEC. You know, at linebacker, you've got, you know, between Maven and Kirkland, you've got two guys that you think are upper level SEC players. You have Cam Sutton, who after spending 15 practices with him and a winter with him, is just a pro. There's not a technique that he doesn't do well. And to me, I think it's time for us to start talking about him, you know, as one of the top corners in the SEC. And I've said this a couple times. I think a position that may have been perceived as a weakness could ultimately be a position of strength because I'm really excited with the way, you know, Todd Kelly Jr., Rashawn Golden, and Mike Abernathy practiced this spring at safety. And I feel like they bring something to the table that's as a playmaker and a guy who can cover and guys who have high football IQs and things like that. So I think we have, you know, pretty good, you know, depth at each level of the defense from the front to the linebackers to the secondary. Just like everything else, the identity of this team is kind of still to be determined. And like I told the players, the success or failure of our unit will be determined by how hard we work, you know, between this day for, you know, this day, you know, till camp. And the guys seem very determined. They're very confident. You know, to answer your question, I think all the ingredients are in place to be successful in 2016. We just got to, you know, stay hungry, stay humble, stay focused, you know, and coach kind of adopted the slogan heading into the season, own it. And if everybody owns, you know, what they need to do in the weight room, what they need to do with summer conditioning, you know, the way we need to prepare heading into camp and we keep our focus, I think this team has a chance to be pretty good.
Tell you what, I'd like to borrow Butch Jones for a few minutes in my advertising world. He could help me with some serious slogans, and there's no question. He's good at that stuff. Coach, would you mind writing some ad copy for me here on the side? Let me ask you something about your job in particular. You say you're looking at that Alabama film right now. Tennessee is a cat's whisker away last year from sneaking out of there with a win. Alabama had to make some plays. Their receivers went high. Made plays as great players are going to, and they had some playmaking wide receivers. You get disparate sorts of defenses in this, in or offenses in this league. You've got the spread down there at A&M and what they like to do. You've got the power stuff Alabama likes to do. Some teams like to combine those elements. Does that make coaching in the SEC perhaps a little different in that there's such a disparity in terms of what teams like to do offensively in this league?
That's part of the fun of the job to me, but that is a great challenge. You're exactly right. I think I've made the statement, I think being a defensive coordinator in a Power 5 conference in today's college football is could be as challenging a job as there is in all of sports because, like you just said, you know, week to week, you know, you're playing against one week, you're playing against a team that's, you know, like in Arkansas, who's, you know, two backs, two tight ends going to try to bloody your nose. You know, then the next week, like you said, it's Texas A&M with spreading across the field with five wideouts, all of which you can run like crazy, you know, or it's whoever. I mean, so, I mean, to me, that's the challenge. And to me, the thing that I think we as defensive coaches need to keep sight of is it's not about what they do. It's about what we're good at. It's about developing identity as a defense. And I've said since I've been here, our identity is going to be, you know, to be an in-your-face style, you know, build on relentless pursuit, never-ending pressure, challenging every route. And to me, we believe in attacking and setting tempo because not only do all those offenses try to do all that stuff, you know, they try to do them with great speed without ever huddling. You know, and I think someone used the phrase football somewhere transitioned from an interval game to a continuous game. And, you know, they're trying to just run play after play after play with tempo and speed and things like that. So that's the challenge nowadays. And like I said, our philosophy or our identity is one that we want to attack and we want to be aggressive in everything that we do. We want to challenge every route. And I think our players have really bought into that aggressive mentality, if you will, that aggressive culture that we've tried to create.
Well, you know, it's interesting to hear you hear that answer, Coach. I'm a simpleton, okay? I play one on the radio and I am one in real life. But one thing it seems to me that's the case with your sport, that's become the case across many sports. You know, basketball used to be a slow and deliberate game when we were kids. Now it's I got this tempo, I'm going to make you play at this tempo, and if you can't play at this tempo, whoever wins the tempo battle with guard player whatever is going to control a basketball game. That's just the way the modern game's played. Centers, you no longer have big people like you once did where it's slow and plodding. In your sport now, it's fast, fast, fast. So if I'm playing defense, I've got to dictate tempo to you, because if you're dictating tempo to me, we've seen this with Tennessee here in Butch Jones' first couple of years, the way he wants to play. If a defense is able to slow you down and be more aggressive and win at the point of attack, they're going to take you out of what you want to do. Is that kind of your goal with both types of offenses, is just to control the tempo from your end?
You got it. I mean, you got it. And the way you do that is by winning on mixed downs or on normal down and distance, you know, putting teams behind the eight ball. So, I mean, a lot of offensive coordinators have play calls for second and four to five. It's much more challenging for them when it's second and 12. So, you know, our goal is to be disruptive, create negative plays on early downs, you know, because those tempo teams, once they get that initial first down, you know, then all of a sudden that's when they accelerate. That's when they speed up. That's when they try to go faster. So, you know, our aim is always to try to, you know, one of the metrics we look at all the time, you know, if you look over the last 5 years, you know, winning possession in P&10, the first play of a drive, creating negative plays, that's important, not giving up big or explosive plays, and creating takeaways. Those are the three things that we talk about all the time. And not giving up big or explosive plays doesn't necessarily mean, you know, being a bend but don't break operation. It means just being fundamentally sound, you know, running to the ball well, being a great tackling unit, always keeping the ball in front and inside. Those are the things that are really, really important against today's modern spread offenses.
You know, and Coach, I really appreciate your time, and thank you for giving us some time today. On the way out, one final question for you. Let's say it's 4th and 14. There's a minute and a half to play in a game. We're playing Florida. How many guys are we rushing in that situation? Let's say the ball's at the 40-yard line. It's 4th down and 14. Are we going to rush 3, or are we going to bring it at them and make them like it?
Coach, Jalen Reeves-Maven a couple weeks ago asked me this exact question. He said, what's your identity as a coach? I said, my identity as a coach is 4th down, game on the line, I'm coming after you. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Beautiful. I'm like a sheep for you right now. We're ready to sheep it up here, Coach. Now, of course, we haven't played a game, and you're undefeated, and you're perfect. So let's keep it that way. Let's stay perfect and undefeated. Hey, listen, really appreciate your time. Welcome to Knoxville. Great to talk with you. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it. It's great to be part of All Nation. I promise you that.
Thank you, man.
All right.
Bob Shoup, one more time. I might have just sheeped out. I might have just sheeped out. Might have. Jalen Reeves-Maben asked me that same question, and I told him, brother, I know one way to play. You know what? Let me tell you something. When we're doing your Smart Way Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction this year, and we go down to Georgia, and it's a 7-point game, it's a 3-point game, or it's a 6-point game, 6-point game. And there's a minute and a half left, and Jacob Eason's on, out of the shotgun, and he drops back, and they send 6 or 7 guys at him. If they send 5 or more at him, and he hits a big play long, you will not hear me bitch for 1 minute on the air. I'm just telling you right now. The funnest time I've ever had was as an Eagles fan when Buddy Ryan was calling their defense in Philadelphia. Now, he didn't win playoff games. Okay, whatever. Buddy Ryan's era was my favorite time in the whole wide world. Why? Because the minute they walked on the field, the minute they walked off the field defensively, they dictated. They scored with their defense. They got up the field. They got after people. Now, Bob Shoup, he wasn't going to say this. I said it for him. When he was at Penn State, did not have enough players to play the way he wanted to play. At Vanderbilt, they were dictating on people. At Vanderbilt. Imagine what that guy is going to be able to do here. Now look, again, I'm a simpleton. I play one on the radio. I am one in real life. I'm dressed, you know. I mean, somebody walked up here a second ago and handed me 50 cents the way I'm dressed today. Look, I do know this. If you're in 4th and 14 and you haven't beaten somebody in 15 effing years, like us last year on the road, what the hell's the difference? What are you defending? If you can't at that point let it all hang out, why bother? What did he say, Butch Jones? I love talking to Coach, but he gave me like 20 Butch Jones slogans there, like ad copy. There was one, I don't know, they all kind of ran together, but one of them was the now, something about the now, that's the now. That's the now. That was a fun conversation with him. I'll tell you what. That guy right there, get a good look at him, because he ain't going to be here long. Because here's what's going to happen. I'm going to predict this. They're going to come here. He's going to have great success on his side of the ball because he has enough players to do what he's about to do. They're going to be ravenous. They're going to get after people. We might just swallow Alabama and Neyland Stadium this year. We might just swallow them. It's a nice thought instead of getting swallowed all the time. You know what I mean? As I continue with more on the other side, if you have a thought on that conversation, Basilio just turned full sheep. More after this.
Spread the word and get the app at TonyBasilio.com.